today we celebrate that. We want
to honor you. We want to honor the life she lived. And we also want to give. And honoring you. In Jesus' name, amen. This afternoon, I want to welcome all of you to the service to honor Miss Susie as she was known here at New Holland. Miss Susie will be missed. Her big smile, especially when she was being mischievous, sometimes actually misbehaving. Her positive attitude when she was told her cancer was back again. But we also want to honor the one she put her faith in and she didn't mind telling you about it. Her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So today we not only celebrate her life, but we celebrate her new life. Yes, she will be missed by everyone here and more so by her family. Today, recognize that Miss Susie has just changed locations. She has moved to her new and final home. And you know, that brings for as we get older, those thoughts come flying in there. But Saturday night, the comment was made that she wanted to be buried in her house because she didn't want to be moved out of her chair. So hopefully she's not going to be too upset. So today, I want to thank you for taking time to show your love and support to the Williams and Yoder families as they honor a wife, a mother, grandmother, sister, aunt, someone who cared deeply for her family. Roland will be leading us in two songs from the Christian hymnary, so you can get your Christian hymnaries and be ready. And then we will just follow the outline on the program for the rest of the service.
Forever will be. Great. So it is well with my soul. Alan, Calvin, Carolyn, Caitlin, Trevor, and Cameron, and all the rest of you. I pray, and I've been praying, that God's comfort would be yours. I feel honored to be here this afternoon. As I looked out over this audience, I have to admit that I think that the only person I knew 9 years ago was my boss, Dale. And Daryl, man, I get those two mixed up. That's Sam, don't do that again. Can't you find a little further apart names or something? But all of you, many of you, I don't know all of you out there, but many of you have become close friends and good friends. And this congregation has been good to me. A lot of memories. But this afternoon we have met to remember. We have met together to admire, to grieve, but also to rejoice over the life and victory of one who lived among us as a child, as we would expect a child of God to live. I think probably I came to know Alan and Susie from Young at Heart, the Young at Heart group. I assume that's right, Alan, don't you? And many of you, all of you who know Susie and Alan, know that it didn't take long to feel like you knew them pretty well. Susie, of course, was a Yoder, and you've heard already some of her ways, the way she did things, and I wasn't related to her, so I don't want you to think that there's any connection between her and me that way. I mean, she was very quick to give her opinions, and I'm much different than that, of course, and a lot of other things. I mean, I'm not quite sure. That laughter kind of worries me a little bit. I'm glad I was able to set the record straight, you know. But Susie was an interesting, very interesting lady. But very much, very open-hearted, very much to give. Occasionally I'd stop when I went to Aiken. You always had to have coffee. And almost always she wanted to lay some kind of baked good on you before you went out the door. And they were all good, but her fruit cakes were especially good. I, of course, I'm a fruit cake fan, unlike some people. But, yeah, I remember that. I remember meeting her over at the flea market. You think back to all the things that have occurred in 9 years. It's amazing. It really is. So it's right. And I think it's a good thing for us to do what I just mentioned, to remember her, to honor her, to rejoice with her, to grieve her. But it is even more right to gather at a time like this before the one who gives life and to give him credit and praise and glory. He gave Susie her physical life. And he gave Susie her spiritual life. And let me say this to you all. He never planned that death would be a part of our lives, of Susie's life, of anyone's life. When death came through Satan and our sin, he was there to bear Susie and any of us, but it bear Susie up, lest she strike her foot against a stone. Last Saturday night, he gathered her. We don't know what death is like. But I have read enough about some of that I have a feeling Susie, of all of a sudden, was released in a way that none of us realize. As Dale said, she was very positive and probably kept a lot of her aches and pains to herself. But at that moment, the Spirit of God, the presence of God, bore Susie to himself. And we can praise his name for that. So, Alan, the rest of you, just like baptism and marriage, begins in a church, so too, I think this new life that you're facing needs to begin here. I know it's not maybe as happy and joyous in one sense, but this is where it's right and proper for us to begin this time and to allow her. And we all know this, for funerals are for us, not for her, but to give her over and let her go, be with that person whom she served her lifetime. Alan told me last night, as we greeted each other, that now he knows what I went through. Would you believe it's 8 years, six years ago tomorrow, that Frieda passed. Many of you have experienced it as well. And yes, Alan, you'll experience crushing loneliness. You'll experience times when, out of the blue, things will just come crashing down. And you'll wonder at times how you can handle it. You'll know the the depth of quietness of a house. The realization that no matter what you do, you'll never see her again. That's a hard deal, Alan. But you'll also have some other things. You'll have the presence of Jesus. If you hand this to him, you'll have the presence of Jesus in a way that you've never experienced before. You'll have the comfort of your family. And I can tell you, Alan, that your boy sitting there beside you and your daughter-in-law, many a Tuesday night, which was the night when Frieda passed, asked me to come for supper. They know how to do it. But somebody needs to help them too, because they're going to deal with the loss of a mother. You also have the realization of all the people that are praying for you. And that's the one thing I just could hardly overcome, was that sense of people praying. And they will, and we will. And you'll have the comfort of the Scriptures. And that's where I want to go now. I've told Dale that I would try and keep this brief, so we need to move on. But I want to go to the Scriptures, if I could, and I want to read from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 10, where it says, "For we know that if the earthly tent," and I kind of like that. And by the way, I don't like camping, and now I have it right in Scripture that you don't not have to like camping. Because we get rid of the tent here, it says. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down. Listen to me, Calvin. We have a building from God. See, and so I'm right to want to go to a house rather than at a camp, in a camper. But anyway, this is an earthly. This is a temporary thing that we're living in. It's a tent compared to an eternal building. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Inasmuch as we, having put it on, shall not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, in order that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent with the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight, we are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be home with the Lord. Therefore, also we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Those words comforted me. And today Susan knows the truth of those words. And I know, in a sense, we wouldn't mind sometimes having her back, at least talking to her or something. And I don't mean to say something I shouldn't, but I don't think Susie even wants to come back to say hi. I mean, she has got so much that we may already be just a dim memory, if I can say that kindly, because what she's got is beyond anything we have ever hoped to experience. I'd like to pray, and then I'm going to read a couple more verses, okay? And I would like you to stand if you can. There's just something about that seems good when we pray. Father, we give you this day. We bring Alan, Calvin, Carolyn and their children, brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews. We bring them to you, Lord, this afternoon. We're asking that you pour out your comfort and your care over them, we pray. Thank you for the life of Susie. Thank you that today, as pastors, as ministers, we don't have to skirt around and try to be coy about where she's spending eternity, because we know that she made her calling and election sure. We thank you for that. Now may your peace rest upon us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. 2 Timothy 4:6-8 says, Paul said to Timothy, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. Now notice this, and this is what we can say about Susie. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Mennonite, and excessive displays of emotion don't necessarily come easy for me, depending on the circumstance, especially in church. But if we were watching a race, and we were really into it, And Susie was nearing the finish line, ready to receive a prize. We might just give her a hand of applause.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times, the God of the day is still God in the night. You talk of faith when you're up on the mountain, but talk comes easy when life's at its best. It's down in the valleys of trials and temptations, that's when your faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times, the God of the day is still God in the night. The God of the day is still God in the
A lot of nice things have been said today already. And so, as I prepared for this, I tried to think of how I could do this and where you start and where you stop. And I don't think I will need to make it any more than it is. However, I would affirm all the things that have been said. Susie was a Susie of its own kind. We didn't have any other Susies around here like that. She was fun to be around. She was always smiling, as you've heard. We go to their house, you could expect to play a game. That was one of her pet things. You would either play a game or you would eat a roll. I would usually choose the game. The rolls were too heavy for me. She always had something to eat. and we appreciate her in a lot of ways. Spent lots of time with her, my wife and I, in Nallon. Lots of good moments, and there were some sad moments, but lots of good ones. Today I will speak to you out of request by the deceased and the family. It will be a bit of a different nature of a presentation. It may be a bit out of unorthodox. I've done a lot of weddings, lots of weddings. I've done a few funerals, lots of funerals. I say not lots, a few. And normally there's one train of thought that you follow. In a funeral, when you're in a wedding, you follow the wedding thoughts. And when you're in a other type of service, you normally seem to, that's kind of how you follow. For some reason, we do that. But today, out of the request for this, I want to speak today about our eternal life and how we make preparations for it. There was this man, and his name was Nicodemus. He was known as a ruler of the Jewish sect. I would say that he was part of the government. And he met the Savior in a way that perhaps we should meet him. Jesus said to him in John chapter 3, verse 3, he said, after the man Nicodemus had said to him about the miracles that he's doing. And he said, you obviously are a man of character and a man of power, a man of authority because of all the miracles you do. And so it must be that God is with you. Jesus answered him and he said, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was kind of like we are. He did not understand what that meant. And so he asked the question. He said, how can then a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, said, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not. In other words, don't be surprised if I say to you, you must be born again. Now, I don't bring this to you as a judgment type statement, but I would bring it to you this afternoon in the fact of stirring our thinking. And neither do I want to bring up anything that causes false guilt. There's always that danger. And I don't plan to get into the eschatology part of this scripture or the theology of whether what the water is, but I would like to address the fact that we must repent from our old ways. So I've titled this, We Need to Change Our Ways. Repentance is something that we don't hear a whole lot about anymore, and I can remember in my younger days that this was something we preached about a lot. We talked a lot about the new birth, about change. It seems like we're living in a time when it's not so popular to talk about being born again, about new birth, about repenting, about change, following light. It's sort of like just let everybody do their own thing and we'll just sort of get along. I guess that is all right for some. There are two things that I see here that are extremely important And that is that he says that you cannot see into the kingdom. Now, some of you have been where this family is. Brother Clint has been there. I was privileged to walk with him because he works behind my property where I have close access to his perimeters. And so I go there to check on him a lot. That earlier in this, I needed to do it a lot for a while there. But he's sort of getting balanced out of where he can handle his own self now, better than he did at Earth earlier. And he's got a good wife to keep him straight, so I don't have to do as much. It's much helpful. But I felt it was a privilege to journey with him in his early days of being a widower. But I would say to you that if you've never journeyed where these people are today, where Clint has journeyed, where his wife has journeyed, where some of you have journeyed, there's another one sitting here that has been not too long ago, has journeyed through that of losing a companion. I have not walked in the journey of losing a companion. I cannot relate. But I've lost, my wife and I have buried two children. I can tell you what that's like. I can tell you what that feels like. And I often think about the fact that when we come together in a service like this, and we sing all these songs, and we say all these words, they have no meaning. I'm going to tell you people, these people cannot feel what we're saying. They will feel it. There's a sister here who has been a widow for 30, 40, how many years? 34 years, a widow. I spent time in her, when her husband's alive, I was at their home. I have wonderful memories of that day, of those days, I should say. But I'm going to tell you, when we sang the song, "It Is Well With My Soul," it's a good song. It feels good to say it. It feels good to sing it. And when you're, when everything is well, then it's okay. When it is well, you can sing it well. But it doesn't always feel that way, does it, Kevin? How about you? Doesn't always feel that way. So I'm saying to you today that I would like to somehow impress upon our minds that there is, as we've heard, there are emotions in this process. There's feeling. Our daughter passed, it's about 5 years, I think, now. And there's a photo on our bulletin board with her best friend. And every time I sit at the kitchen table, every time I sit there, I look at that picture. There is no way that I can describe to you what some of those thoughts that I have, that I wonder about, that I have those images. And before Glenda went to be with Jesus, she talked about it. She knelt at my desk many times and cried and said, "Dad, help me." I said, "How can I help you? Please help me. I have no help. I'm helpless. I want to go be with Jesus." That lady I've heard say it too. I've heard those words come from that lady. "I'm ready. I'm okay." We talked about it. I don't know why we talked about it. It wasn't necessarily part of the process, but we would be there visiting, and she'd say, "Well, I'm ready. I want to go be with Jesus." I wonder what she's doing. Have you ever wondered about that? I do. I guess it's because I'm getting old. I wonder about that. I wonder what Aaron's doing. I wonder what Sylvia's doing. I do. I wonder what these people are up to. In my mind's image, it's like there's the most beautiful scenery that you can imagine. I cannot describe it to you. You know, the Apostle John tried to tell me about it, and he just made a mess out of it. And we talk about the fact that how that is such a beautiful, we try to describe heaven, it's so many cubits high, and so many blocks wide, and so many miles this way, and so many feet this way, and so many cubits this way, and so many cubits this way, and that doesn't make a bit of sense to me. Heaven is not cubits to me. Heaven is not miles. Heaven is where Jesus is. Heaven is where God dwells. Heaven is where He has placed a place for me. Now I want to ask you a question. How are you going to get there? How am I going to get there? Jesus said, I have to be born again. Pretty simple. Oh, it's not so simple though. It is one of the simplest things that a person can encounter. But it is, and the easiest, I would say, but the hardest. I know it's. I know I don't make sense, but am I supposed to? The Bible tells me you have to be born again. That's the end of the discussion. So to me, it's I have to repent for my sins. Well, I'm not a sinner. I grew up in a Christian home. Oh, you really? I went to church all my life. Really? I don't read it in the Bible where that saves you. I don't read it in the Bible where that gives you eternal life. Jesus said you have to be born again. Meaning to me that you have to repent from your sins. You have to let Jesus come into your life. And let Jesus be the King. And let Jesus be your Savior. He said you cannot see and you cannot enter. Simple as that. All right, I will spend a few minutes in John 14. Brother Dale read that to us. Beautiful scripture. I think I've used that almost, I think that's used in every funeral that I've ever been to and ever was at. Or 23rd Psalm is another one. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil and, you know, all that. There's nothing wrong with that. It's good. Are we in the shadow of death? Well, we could be. You see, somehow my mind tells me that if she wouldn't have been ready to go, what the world would have happened? There was no time. Nobody came and said, Susie, you better get ready. Jesus is going to come and get you just soon now. Hey, nobody, Alan, you didn't tell her that, did you? Nobody told her. But she was ready. She was ready. Is that the way you want to go? I do. My wife doesn't want me to do that, but I do. And I'm willing to let her do it, but it won't feel good. You see, it doesn't feel good for us, but it's good for them. It's really good for them. I have a grandpa that in the 90s, he was in his 90s, not year 90s, he was 90-some years old, was in church. He was all Amish. He may have died from sitting on them pews, I don't know, but they have no backs and they're pretty, well, you people don't know what that is, but he, really? He was in church. And he fell over. I have another grandpa that ate breakfast. My mother fixed his breakfast. He walks into his room, sits in his chair. Something about a recliner that I'm getting suspicious about here. He sat in his recliner, kicked it back, got his Bible, closed his eyes. End of discussion. Gone. I warned my wife, two grandpas? Huh. you better get your, you better look at the recliner every day. You might find me there. No, seriously. Life is serious. Let me just look at John 14 just briefly. I love this, and I'm not going to go into eschatology here because, you know, we already sang that song, and I really wonder, every time I hear it, obviously it was a premillennial person who wrote that song, and I don't know if he even realized he was premillennial. The eschatology in that song. When the trumpet shall sound, and what does it say? When the trumpet shall sound and Jesus will descend, or it doesn't say Jesus, but he will descend. We who are, hey, it sounds good to me. I'm okay with that. We're not here to teach that, but it's okay. You know, all is well with my soul is what you better be worried about. Not how you're going to get there. Jesus will take care of that. He got it all figured out. Now, in John 14, again, I'm not going into eschatology. I'm going into the facts of just how it reads to me. All right? Just theologically, what I like. Now, you can go home and debate me all you want to, but I won't argue it out at all. But I just like this idea where there were the disciples, they were, John 13, what was happening? Read it. There was a debate going on. There was a feet washing, for one thing, and we read it all the time and don't even think about the fact that it was just before he was crucified. And just before he said, okay, guys, I do have to go. And they said, well, we want to go too. Sounds like a bunch of children. We want to go. And Jesus said, no, you can't go where I'm going. Because I am going, these are my words, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now, since I have to do that, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And it's a place, it's a large place, lots of room. It says mansion, used in King James. Those people didn't know what the word room was. They thought any room was a mansion. And so they made that, it come to, it makes us think that we are getting a mansion. I have no idea what we're getting. But I'll tell you one thing, whatever we're getting is okay. It is good, and it's wonderful, it's beautiful. It is the best. There is none better. Jesus said, I'm going to come back and get you. So don't worry. Has he been here? I don't know what your eschatology is, and it doesn't matter. But mine, he came. He was here. Now, I also believe this. Whether he comes in person or send somebody. You guys are so serious. Well, that's a good idea, though. You should be serious, because this is serious. I have a reason, and I'm not going to tell you why, but I have a reason to believe that Jesus either comes in person or sends an angel. Why? Because we need an escort across wherever we're going. Now, it's called heaven to me. I don't know what you call it, but I call it heaven. Heaven is a home. It's a place where I'm going. I'm getting ready. Are you ready to make that debut? Are you in a place where when your eyes close at night and you go to sleep, and if you are not going to wake up till next morning, are you ready to do that? Can you do that? Hebrews 9 says, it is appointed unto men once to die. Calvin said this to me and to some of you. He knew that it was coming. But he wasn't ready. We knew that our daughter was going to die, but we did not give it up until she died. You don't do that. It's hard. Alan, we're never ready. Talk to Clint. You're never ready. Some of you have been there. You've walked that journey. You know what it's all about. But after death comes the judgment. Now, we don't talk about that much, but it's a fact. Now, you see, if your sins go before you and they're under the blood, the judgment's not much to worry about. You're safe. You'll be okay, but make sure your sins are there, gone, washed under the blood of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you're in trouble. Let me repeat on. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Jesus is the one. There is no other. The Bible tells me very clearly that you will not get to the Father any other way but through Jesus. It's the only way. In this closing part of this service, I'm going to ask you a question. And in no way am I implying that you don't know God. In no way am I implying that you're not a Christian. I'm not implying that anybody here is lost and dying and going to hell. I'm not implying that. So get it straight. But I will ask you a question. And then after I do, Rollin's going to lead us in a song. And it says, do you wish to experience the peace of God? Of course, we all do. But do you have the peace of God? And do you have the presence of Jesus in your life? Now, in the next moment, I'm going to ask Roland to lead us in a song, Just As I Am, one stanza. And you will just stay where you are. And for that song, if you wish to open your heart and life and let Jesus in, this is the time. This is the wish of Susie, not mine, although I'm involved. So, Rollin. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I say thank you at this moment for your presence here and for anyone that might be here that is reaching out to you in their heart in openness to salvation and to the peace of God. Jesus, I pray that you'd help that individual to say these words in their heart. Jesus, I come to you, and I open my life to you and ask you to forgive me for my sins. And I ask you to be my Lord and my Savior. And I ask you to help me to repent of my sins and to walk with you in humility and in your grace and love. God, I appreciate your presence throughout the day. Thank you for helping us. Would you continue to bless this family? Thank you for the life of Susie and that we could be a part of that life. And as we continue now to the next part of this service, we totally commit everything to you. And all of this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Miss Susie, 80 years old, entered into eternal rest Saturday, October 24, 2020. Miss Susie is the loving wife of 51 years to George Allen Williams. She is the mother of Calvin Williams and his wife Carolyn, the late Sylvia Ann Koss, and her husband Kevin. Miss Susie is the grandmother of Cameron, Trevor, and Caitlin Williams. She is the sister of Dorothy, the late Aaron Yoder, Aquila, Naomi Yoder, Lewis, Ruth Yoder, Daniel, Rachel Yoder, the late John I, and the late Rebecca Yoder, Daniel, Rachel Yoder, the late Bertha, and the late Robert Miller, the late Ezra Ruth Yoder, and the late Ido Yoder, Jr. Miss Susie is the daughter of the late Sylvia Atlee Kanegi Yoder and the late Ido Ira Yoder. Miss Susie was a member of New Holland Mennonite Church. She enjoyed baking, putting together puzzles, playing games with her family, and taking trips to the flea market. Visitation will be Monday, October 26, 2020, from 6 to 8 p.m. at New Holland Mennonite Church. The funeral service will be 3 p.m. on Tuesday, the 27th. Pastor Dale Mast, Pastor Irvin Wengard, Pastor Sam Mast, and Pastor Clint Yoder will be officiating. Burial will follow in the church cemetery. In lieu of flowers, the family asks that memorials be made to the New Holland Mennonite Church. And if you go to the back of your bulletin, you've probably already read that, just a little bit of a personal part of that. Saturday, we were working at the thrift store, and I had told Phyllis we were going to go to Columbia. And through a series of things happening, I did not get away from there in time. And I got headed home, and she didn't want to cooperate and go to Columbia. And so I finally agreed, and I had gone to haul the trash, and I got a phone call. And had we been in Columbia, we'd have just turned around and come home. God orchestrated that. We were able to be at Alan's house, I think, within 20 minutes. And, you know, we knew she wasn't feeling good. We didn't realize the extent of it. She was going through her second bout with cancer. She had trouble breathing and was on oxygen the last several months. But you know what? She kept saying, I'm going to get rid of this oxygen. She did. She got rid of it. She had congestive heart failure. Thursday, her doctor said her heart was functioning at 30%. One of her kidneys wasn't working properly anymore, and she was experiencing nausea. On Saturday evening, Susie and Alan were resting in their chairs when he realized she wasn't breathing. He immediately called 911. The paramedics said she was in cardiac arrest when they arrived, and she went peacefully into the arms of Jesus. And you know, we've talked about her giving heart. I don't like fruitcake. There's only one fruitcake that I would eat. And she made sure that I got a couple every year. I think I'll lose some weight now. Unless somebody else picks it up. But she loved giving things. She loved doing that. And we will miss that. I do have a couple announcements, and then we will go through the process of going to the grave. You will be ushered out during this final song. You'll wait for the ushers, and they will usher you out. You can gather out around the hearse. The family will be having a final viewing here, and when that is finished, we will proceed to the grave for the burial and the committal. There is a meal plan for those of you who are comfortable staying, and we do understand in all of the craziness that is going on, you may not be comfortable with that, and that is fine. However, if you are not comfortable with that, there are arrangements made. If you're traveling and you want food, they will fix you a to-go plate, and you can take it with you. If you are not planning to go to the grave and you want to go straight to the gym and eat, you may do that as well. They will be ready for you. And we're just going to be kind of relaxed during that time. So if you have any questions, the ushers can help you with that when they're finished ushering people out. Again, I want to thank you for taking the time today to come and show your support to the Williams and Yoder families. And may God bless you for your kindness to them.
For God so loved us, he sent the Savior. For God so loved us and loves me too. Love so unending, I'll sing thy praises. God loves his children, loves even me. God is dealing, he loves me careless, and God is dealing, he early took me. Throne song he knock, I know God is dealing, God is dealing, he early took me. He sent the Savior, the blessed Redeemer. He sent the Savior to set me free. Love so unending, I'll sing thy praises. God loves his children, loves even me. He bade me welcome, O world of mercy. He bade me welcome, O voice divine. Love so unending, I'll sing thy praises. God loves his children, loves even me. Glory and honor all of eternal to thee be given while life shall last. Love so unending, I'll sing thy praises. God loves his children, loves even me.